You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone, the public accused me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. Forget what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm acting weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster. Get along with the voices.
Good Friday morning to you. Mike McMurrin for Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Interesting article in the Washington Post this morning about not real hard news. Well, maybe it is, right? It's kind of more human interest now, low all these years. Amelia Earhart reality check. The Japanese helped the U.S. look for the famed aviator. What? Wait a minute. History Channel, man. What did they present? All right. So Amelia Earhart's disappearance, the article talks about, roared back into the news last week after the History Channel aired a documentary contending that she survived her first flight and was captured by the Japanese. As proof, the report touted a blurry old photograph that purportedly shows Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, on an atoll in the Marshall Islands. One problem. A Japanese military blogger unearthed evidence that the photo was first published in a 1935 Japanese travel log, 2 years before Earhart and Noonan set off for their doomed flight to circumnavigate the globe. Another problem, the Japanese joined the search for the aviator they were supposedly holding captive. Before her famous flight, Earhart had been a frequent visitor to the White House and was a friend of First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. And the president was so concerned about Earhart's disappearance that he kept an open telephone line from Washington to his home in Hyde Park, New York. In addition, the White House asked the Washington Post to keep it informed of developments so news could be passed quickly to the president. In Japan, Prime Minister Fuminaro Kanoi and Foreign Minister Koki Hirota probably knew of Earhart's disappearance on her attempt to fly around the world and probably were behind the overture to the United States. Their motives may have been humanitarian, Brashear wrote. Earhart and Babe Ruth were the best-known Americans in Japan at the time. But Japan may also have wanted to keep U.S. searchers from poking around too close to the islands the Japanese had controlled in the Pacific. The Navy planned to send the USS Lexington and so the Japanese offered this as a kind of interesting human interest stuff anyway. The Japanese offered this. On July 6th, Japan radioed all of its vessels in the region to join the search for Earhart. On July 10th, Secretary of State Cordell Hull, who would later explode at Japanese diplomats the day Pearl Harbor was attacked, quite rightly so, asked Tokyo whether it might search an area where the downed plane could have drifted. Japan said it would do its best. 2 days later, Hull expressed his gratitude. On July 15th, 5 days later, Cordell Hull asked the popular Japanese ambassador in Washington, Hiroshi Sato, to, quote, convey to your government the warmest thanks of the president and myself for the very kind assistance in the search for Miss Earhart. This cooperation and sympathy on the part of the Japanese government and people were deeply appreciated, he wrote. So the Washington Post, pulling down the History Channel's pants. Kind of odd, don't you think? Kind of odd. So, anyway. A mystery that still, to this day, what happened to her remains unsolved. All right. Let me tell you what we're going to do in the program today. It's a Friday. It's Bastille Day. So, to all our French friends out there, happy Bastille Day. And, you know, yesterday when we were yesterday when we were on the air, you know, the president was in Paris, and they said he's the person in the president in Paris for the Bastille Day celebration. And I thought, damn, I always thought it was the 14th. I always thought it was the 14th. God, all these years, I was wrong. And then somebody quite rightly pointed out to me later, no, it's the 14th, stupid. So I stand corrected. The French have great history, obviously. So to the French, happy birthday. Right. A great nation. One that has great. Oh, here it is. Hold on. So this is Les Marseillais, right? So let me read you the lyrics, because I don't know them. I thought, because it's Bastille Day, maybe I should probably make myself smart. verse 1, let's go, children of the fatherland. The day of glory has arrived. Against us tyranny's bloody flag is raised. In the countryside do you hear the roaring of the fierce soldiers. They come right to our arms to slit the throats of our sons, our friends. Yikes. And then the refrain, grab your weapons, citizens, form your battalions, let us march, may impure blood water our fields. pretty violent song the French have going, right? Verse 2, the horde of slaves, traitors, plotting kings, what do they want? For whom these vile shackles, these long prepared irons? Frenchmen for us, oh, what an insult. What emotions that must incite is that they dare to consider returning to ancient slavery. Verse 3, what? These foreign troops would make laws in our home? What? These mercenary phalanxes would bring down our proud warriors? Good Lord, by chained hands, our brows would bend beneath that yoke. Vile despots would become the masters of our fate. Verse 4. This is like seven verses. I won't read them all. But wow, it's kind of a bloody, violent song. Who knew? It sounds so pretty, right? Bastille Day. Beautiful song. Yeah, that was, so let's march and water the fields with their impure blood. With their impure blood. Yeah, Bastille Day. So, yeah, the French. Yeah, you know, you would expect that from the Germans, right? Something vile. I shouldn't say something vile. Something more. You would expect something a little bit more touchy feel from the French. Who knew? Under that beautiful melody, and the, you know, you really see it like when you see, you know, at a soccer game or some kind of, and when they, you know, the in France especially, and they sing, you know, their national anthem. You know, it's a beautiful song, and I didn't know the words. Who knew? Who knew? What the hell? Emailer says this. I'm laughing, honestly. On a Friday. Well done, Mac. I didn't know it was such a bloody song either. Yeah, nobody would know. All right, here's the German national anthem. I wonder what the German national anthem would say. All right, stand by. What? Oh. Deutschland, long version, German, English subtitles. Awesome. This is what I need. The English subtitles. All right, you ready? Germany, Germany, above all the world. What? When, for protection and defense, it always takes a brotherly stand together. Not really German, though. From the Meuse to the Memel, from the Adige to the Belt, Germany, above everything in the world. That's a little creepy. I gotta tell you, I'm not comfortable with that. Then they repeat that. German women, German loyalty, German wine, and German song. I'm not sure where this is going. Shall retain in the world their old beautiful chime. And inspire us to noble deeds during all our life. German wine and song, and their women. Yes. Obviously written by a guy. German women, German loyalty, German wine, and German song. Deutsch Frau. I'm not laughing at them. Unity and justice and freedom for the German fatherland. Sounds pretty German. For these, let us all strive brotherly with heart and hand. Unity and justice and freedom are the pledge of fortune. Flourish in this fortune's blessing. Flourish, German fatherland. That's the Germans, man. I wonder how old it is. Is that the old, or is that like the new since World War II German? Kind of interesting. We might as well play God Save the Queen, right? As long as we're doing this. So we'll hear God Save the Queen, and then we'll hear the best one of them all. Whitney Houston will rip the American National Anthem. And we all know the words to that. Here it is. I'll read you the words. The British. God save our gracious queen. Long live our noble queen. God save our queen. What if they had a king? Send her victorious. Happy and glorious. Long to reign over us. God save the queen. Do they just change it to king when they got a king? I guess, huh? O Lord God, arise. Scatter her enemies. And make them fall. Confound their politics. Frustrate their knavish tricks. I like that. Bastards. On thee our hopes we fix. God save us all. Thy choicest gifts in store. On her be pleased to pour. Long may she reign. May she defend our laws. And ever give us cause to sing with heart and voice. God save the Queen. there you have it. A quick tour around the national anthems and the lyrics behind them of our allies. Who knew? One of the things I love about the show, the whole process of discovery. We may not get the news headlines here, in spite of what I said. And now, on a Friday, it is Friday, just so you know, the national anthem. The American national anthem, sung by Whitney Houston. The greatest rendition ever. Good morning to you. And this next little gem grows out of a six-year-old little girl who's singing God Bless America 800 times in a row that almost sent me through the overhead, as little kids will do. But no, you know, they're little kids, so you let them do it. But really, 800 times? And not only singing it, but singing it loud all over the house. Here she is. So I said, hey, Colleen, come over here and sing this right into the microphone. This is take two.
Bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Here's another one of my kids singing. This is Patrick's Officer Candidate class. Yeah. All McNamara kid music this morning.
Our flag comes through.
before John Kennedy gets off his little thing. When I think about that day, it gives me goosebumps. If you can imagine, for those of you who have never been to the National Museum of the Marine Corps, put it on your bucket list. It will be, I guarantee you, it will be one of the highlights of any trip you make to Washington, D.C. It is incredible. It is incredible. When you stand in the rotunda, which is a huge rotunda, which is where this ceremony, that song just got sung. So there are airplanes hanging from the ceiling, right? I think the Corsair, the F-4 Corsairs hanging from the ceiling. I don't know what else is, but there's a number of airplanes hanging from the ceiling. It's marble. It's beautiful. There's scaffolding like a ship, and people are standing on the scaffolding. There's dioramas of Marines at Tarawa going ashore. I think Marines in Korea coming out of a helicopter there. So it's Valhalla of Marineland. Seriously, I call it the cathedral because it looks like a cathedral. So it's which is a Catholic term, or at least a Christian term, right? So it's our cathedral. And so I'm standing there, my other son, John, first lieutenant, I'm a major. Now Patrick can get commissioned second lieutenant, something I never expected in my life, my two sons and I to be on active duty all at the same time. And then with me, my battle buddies, the commissioning officer for the whole ceremony is one of my great friends, Dave Furness. We are battle buddies times three. We've served together four different times. You've heard him on this program repeatedly. Standing next to me is a battle buddy times two by the name of Chris Bronzy. And as at the end of them singing this, he looks at me, he goes, "That was awesome." He said, "Gave me goosebumps." And it does. I mean, those young voices, you know, lieutenants are the lifeblood and the energy of the Marine Corps. Lance corporals are the backbone. But to hear those voices with no accompaniment, right? Just fired up, enthusiastic, with your friends, with one of your best friends is going to commission your son. Just an awesome day, in McNamara family history. It was awesome. And as I said, if you've never been to the National Museum of the Marine Corps, you got to go.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We'll check the weather. Currently, partly cloudy, 85 in Quantico, sunny in 86 at Camp Lejeune, Granbury, Texas. Mostly sunny, 84. Big Timber, Montana, a little bit warmer, 72 this morning up in Big Timber. Right, 72 under sunny skies. 29 Palms, 82, a little bit cooler in 29 Palms under sunny skies. Pendleton, cloudy in 65. In the western Pacific, cloudy, dark, 78 in Hawaii at Camp Smith. Okinawa, clear, dark, 84. Fallujah, 112 under sunny skies. Home of All Marine Radio, 67 degrees under cloudy skies. Headed for 80. Winds are currently out of the south at 4 miles an hour. That's a look at our weather around the Marine Corps. We're going to take a break. The All Marine Radio head chef is going to join us next. We're probably going to talk about French food. Yeah, French fries, stuff like that. French toast. What's the greatest contribution the French have made relative to food? So sit back, relax, enjoy the next couple hours, next 2.5 hours. The Gunner will join us next. We'll ask him what's his favorite French food. Yeah. Mike's a foodie. So we'll get what's on his mind and talk to the Gunner. On a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So sit back, relax. Kim Holmes joins us next. We'll talk a little bit of food as we get going. The president on his way back from France, where evidently he had a very There was no major disasters, and evidently things went well, so that's always good for the country. So we will monitor anything that's going on with that. But All Marine Radio continues on a Friday next. Just the in terms of me, you know, liking to sit around and talk recipes, you know, not so much. But I do find it interesting, the historical origin of different dishes, where they came about. I find it humorous that some of the things that we absolutely love and adore are come out of the culinary practices of the poor, and them using spices, herbs, to spice up different dishes that would never be ingested by people of a higher social status. And so they had to make do with what they had. And so between the use of spices and other things, they invented some pretty tasty things. So I always find that I always enjoy the process of discovery. And even today, French toast, right? First recorded in an Italian cookbook, and it was a way to use stale bread. Soak it in milk, soak it in egg, and then fry it. And then put some kind of spread on top of it. There you go. You're not wasting anything. And it's also interesting, something I read while Kim was on, saying that, you know, until recently, the thought of wasting food, yeah, that did not happen. I mean, think about growing up, right? Think about growing up, and I remember my grandmother. When you went to eat at my grandmother's house, my mom's mom, Margaret Forden, she had the Clean Plate Club. You ate what was on the plate, right? And if you weren't part of the Clean Plate Club, she was not happy, you know? And and grandmothers being grandmothers, I mean, she never got after me, but I mean, I was encouraged, and I don't think I ever failed to be part of the Clean Plate Club. But it was that ethic, that ethos that we did not waste, unlike today. Very kind of interesting stuff. All right, we're gonna check the top five stories in the early bird. See what's going on in the Associated Press on the early bird today. Top story is, obviously, the president and Prime Minister Macron, once cast as adversaries, show that they have much more in common than they do that separates them. I would say that, you know, the president acquitted himself very well in France. And I'll tell you what, until all the people that detract him, you know, all of his detractors, I mean, I think he likes this. I was having a conversation with my sister last night, and she said, "Do you think he'll ever act presidential?" I said, "I think he will at times. But I think there is there's that New York, you know, I'll give as good as I get. And if these people are going to treat me with the back of their hand, then I'll give them the back of my hand." And I don't think he has any intention of changing that. Now, I think the interesting question is, and my sister even said it. She's not so much a history person, but she doesn't, you know, she does entertain it. She said, "You know, Michael, when I watched Lincoln," and I just watched the movie Lincoln here in the last 2 months. She said, "When I watched Lincoln, God, it was awful the things they said about each other." So, you know, the media getting after the president getting after them, I mean, that's gone on in our nation's history. Roosevelt and Hearst, you know, they're back and forth. His fight with, as he attempted to do union busting in the country. It's not something that atypical in the nation's history. Here's what I think is atypical in the nation's history, and I have to do a little bit more reading about it. I think the situation that we find ourselves in relative to not being able to compromise might be unprecedented in the country, that you have this, situation where nobody's able to compromise. And what's crazy about that, and I was giving that some thought last night and today, What's crazy about it is, if you asked most people that run for political office and you took away the title Democrat or Republican and you sought to label categorize them, what do you think you'd find? What categories would you find? Most would be pro-defense, yes, I think. Most would be fiscally conservative. You'd have a lot of fiscal conservatives. You would have a split on people relative to social programs, right? So that would be split. So as you look at these different groups of elected officials, I think you would find a lot that brought you together as opposed to pushed you apart. And yet we can't come to any kind of, we can't pass budgets. We can't do legislation. Right? Because if I'm a Democrat, I can't support you. I can't cross that aisle because, as we've been told repeatedly, to compromise is to sign a death warrant. So, that's just, now, is that unparalleled in the nation's history? Good question. Anyway, second story. Parris Island Battalion commander faces general court-martial. This is the ongoing story of Jeff Shogel, who's been on the program. See if we can get him on next week. Has been covering this story for a while. It is the story of Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Kisson. He's the highest ranking Marine and the only officer to be referred to a court martial in connection with the investigation into abuse and hazing at the Marine Corps' East Coast Recruit Depot at Parris Island, South Carolina. He faces charges of failure to obey a lawful general order, making false official statements, and conduct unbecoming an officer, according to the Training and Education Command's announcement yesterday. Those charges came after he was fired as the commander of Parris Island's 3rd Recruit Training Battalion in March of 2016. In his battalion, Gunnery Sergeant Joseph Felix, who was accused of mistreating and slapping a recruit by the name of Siddiqui, before Siddiqui bolted to a nearby stairwell and leaped nearly 40 feet to his death. Felix also faces a general court-martial scheduled for August. Kisson's Article 32 hearing was in June. Witnesses were called that he had a holy crap moment before Siddiqui's death. They realized that Felix was not supposed to be training recruits because he was still under investigation for a separate incident the year before, in which he was accused of ordering another Muslim recruit to sit in a commercial dryer and turning it on several times while taunting the recruit about religion. Colonel Paul Cucinetta, then commander of Parris Island's Recruit Training Regiment, testified that he asked Kisson why Felix was in Siddiqui's platoon. Why didn't we talk about it? Cucinetta asked him. Quote, had we talked about it, I would have tried to convince you to let him go back, Kisson said, according to Cucinetta's testimony. So, anyway, he will face a general court-martial. You know, again, this is harsh stuff, but the Marine Corps has to send a clear message. And I think granting immunity to the recruit training regimental commander, why is he absolved? Why is he absolved of this? So, ultimately, when this thing is adjudicated, Colby Volke, who's the defense attorney for Lieutenant Colonel Kisson, is a friend of mine. And so I'm sure he'll come on. Certainly, you know, I don't think he'll do it while this is ongoing. Lawmakers reach an initial deal to expand GI education bill benefits. The GI Bill is an awesome benefit. Congressional Republicans and Democrats have reached an initial agreement. How incredible is that? On the biggest expansion of college aid for military veterans in a decade, removing a 15-year time limit to tap into benefits and boosting money for thousands of National Guard and reservists. The deal being announced early Thursday is a sweeping effort to fill coverage gaps in the post-9/11 GI Bill in a rapidly changing jobs market, building on major legislation passed in 2008 that guaranteed a full-ride scholarship to any in-state public university or the cash amount for private college students similar to the value of the scholarship at the state university. The bill gives veterans added flexibility to enroll in college later in life. Veterans would get additional payments if they complete science, technology, and engineering courses. How about that? For a student attending a private university, the additional benefits to members of the Guard and Reserve could mean $2,300 a year more in tuition than they are receiving now, plus a larger housing allowance. So the GI Bill always is a great thing, and anybody who's ever taken advantage of it will tell you. I'll tell you, one of the greatest benefits out there is, you know, for instance, I mean, I would never have used my education benefit. I had no intention of going and getting a master's degree and using it for that. And so the ability, when it was passed in 2008, to pass that benefit along to my kids, 4 years of college tuition free, two for Patrick, two for Catherine, and a living stipend that went through that with that. So pretty amazing. So, and I think Patrick went to the University of Arizona. I think he got about $1,000 a month. Catherine, out here in California, probably got about $2,100 a month of living stipend. That's all. I mean, imagine that. Your college bill's paid, and then you're a living stipend. So it's a great benefit for families to help put kids through college. And also, you know, either the family doesn't go into debt or the kid doesn't have to go into debt. So the GI Bill, an awesome, awesome piece of legislation that continues. That you know, really, the GI Bill is one of the post-World War II, inventions that helps create the middle class. You know, go to college, the ability to buy a home, home ownership, all of that for millions of veterans that served in World War II. So it's really it's an incredible thing. Interesting little article here. The House kills a proposed ban on transgender surgery for troops. The House narrowly voted down a Republican proposal to bar the Pentagon from paying for gender transition surgery. The proposal from Representative Vicky Hartzler, Republican of Missouri, endangered Democratic support of the 2018 National Defense Authorization Act. The lower chamber on Thursday failed to adopt an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act in a bipartisan vote, 209 to 214, with 24 Republicans joining the minority. Hartzler and other opponents said that they aim to prioritize limited defense resources and bar troops from a class of procedures that would render them non-deployable. She said the amendment to the annual defense policy bill would have reversed the Obama-era practice of requiring the armed forces to fund medical procedure. This is a major surgery that requires a medical diagnosis that will render a person non-deployable. California Republican and Iraq War veteran Representative Duncan Hunter insisted the amendment was not aimed at barring transgender persons from military service. If you're going to decide to serve in the United States military, figure out whether you are a man or a woman before you join up. The amendment was one of more than 200 sent to the floor by the House Rules Committee this week. The defense bill was authorized up to $696 billion. In 2018, military spending is expected to come to a final vote today. You know, let me just tell you, I've said it before, but if you are going to make that decision about your personal life in my opinion, you ought to be discharged and you ought to go on about your way. You are going to be non-affected for years. And you are not going to be able to withstand the rigors of the stress that goes with deploying, the workups, being absent, right? You're not going to be able to get the psychological treatment and support that you need. You're not going to be able to go to your physical, you know, appointments and whatever else has to take place. If there's any physical therapy involved, because you're going to be deployed, and they're simply not going to have those assets there. So again, I think it's stupid, but so it goes. The House voted that down yesterday, there's a story entitled "Videos Appear to Show Iraqi Troops Killing Mosul Detainees." Human Rights Watch on Thursday condemned videos circulating on social media purportedly showing Iraqi forces killing and beating men suspected of being Islamic State group fighters in Mosul. You know what? Just memo to the nation. Those guys get in a fight like that, in a prolonged fight in which they've seen, you know, innocent people get killed, and they fought, see their friends get killed, and now they get their hands on these guys. You know, again, the rest of the world isn't the United States. They don't care. They don't care. They will kill them with impunity. And then just an update. The governor of Mississippi says he's declaring an emergency area affected by the KC-130 crash that killed 15 Marines and a Navy corpsman this week. And there's stories that that people have removed debris. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they were removing weapons, ammunition? Possibly. From the site. So, anyway, you know how hillbillies are about weapons. And Mississippi, no exception. So the governor of the state designated an emergency area around the crash site. So, interesting, sad commentary about human nature. We'll take a break. The gunner, Michael Musselman. That's right. Joins us next on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.